There have always been close links between the papacy and Scotland. The Scottish Sceptre, which is in Edinburgh Castle, was a gift from Pope Julius II in 1494 to King James IV, and the Sword of State, also in Edinburgh Castle, was given in 1507. And this meeting of two heads of state, if you like, is not a scenario in Scotland, which was available to Pope John Paul II in 1982. You've got to remember that the Queen in England is the head of the Church of England, but in Scotland, she's just an ordinary member of the Church. She has no authority other than being an ordinary member of the Church. Some of the background is that King James V was allowed by the Pope at the time of the Reformation to assign church revenues to his seven illegitimate children because he had already had an unsuccessful encounter with King Henry VIII in England and was worried that Scotland would go the same way and abandon the Church of Rome. King Henry VIII, of course, made himself head of the Church of England largely in order to have a male heir. And he was in turn excommunicated by Pope Paul III, who then went on to inaugurate the Counter-Reformation by sanctioning the creation of the Society of Jesus and called the Council of Trent. So there are lots of different nuances between the way that Scotland came to Reformation and the way that England came. And you've also got the, if you like, the wild card of Mary, Queen of Scots, who was the Queen at the time of the Reformation and was harangued by John Knox, the reformer, himself a former Roman Catholic priest and a papal notary. And she, because she had strong French links, that was very unpopular at the time in Scotland. And, of course, John Knox won. And Mary, Queen of Scots, was executed eventually on the order of Queen Elizabeth I of England, her cousin.
And St. Ninian is believed to have been one of the first to bring Christianity to Scotland. How deeply rooted was the faith before the 16th century Reformation, and how did that particular period of revolutionary change affect the Catholic Church there?
Well, I like to think that Catholicism, or Christianity rather, was brought to Scotland by the Roman army. But St. Ninian is a very popular saint in Scotland, or certainly was before the Reformation. There are many more church dedications to him, but as a person, his own character and career are very shadowy. We don't know much about him, although he is mentioned by the Venerable Bede some centuries later. And of course, St. Andrew, although he never came to Scotland, was important to Scotland because he was used as a way of showing a continuity between Constantine the Great and the Scottish monarchy. There were, in fact, two or three Scottish kings called Constantine, and so you came also to the vision of the Saltire Cross in the sky. But it's really with King David I, who was the son of Queen St. Margaret, in 1128, when he established an abbey at Holyrood, just below Edinburgh, because Edinburgh was a separate borough, and when he established Holyrood, it was a separate town, and it was in the control under the control of the canons of St. Augustine, who had come from London. And David I's idea was to introduce the sunrise industries of medieval Scotland in the form of the monasteries, who would bring education, farming, and so on, and create an essential infrastructure for a developing nation. But at the time of the Reformation, it was not just theological difference, because I think there is still a very strong underpinning link between Catholicism and the Protestant faith in the work of St. Augustine, the City of God in particular. But there were pastoral differences and liturgical and educational differences. At the time of the Reformation, of course, changes in church government. The Pope was no longer the head of the church, but there was a general assembly. There was a reduction of sacraments from 7 to 2, and preaching and printing was now carried out in the vernacular rather than in Latin. And John Knox had a vision which was of parish schools for all the people of God to replace the very excellent schools that existed before, but which were not mandatory or open to all the people. There was, of course, an almost total destruction of the Catholic Church's stained glass, statues, prayer aids, such as the Rosary, Mass, and priests were forbidden. The rood screen dividing the people and the clergy was removed, and the people were given direct access, if you like, to the Holy of Holies. However, it has to be remembered that King Henry VIII, and perhaps this goes back to the difference between Scotland and England, he repeatedly destroyed the Scottish monasteries. It wasn't the reformers, it was Henry VIII, because he was trying to force Scotland to marry the young Mary Queen of Scots to his son. He came to Edinburgh, and in 1544, they sacked the city, they burnt it, and they did the same to Holyrood Abbey. Underneath it all, however, Catholic legal practices which existed before the Reformation were kept, such as feu duty, which is a way of paying for a sort of an annual sum for the ground that you have your house on, and something called seisin, which again is related to property. So the reformers were very short of money. And they had, for example, to take the treasures of the churches, such as gold and silver monstrances and crosses, and sell them or melt them down. The reaction against the Pope involved in 1560 in Scotland was that the Scottish Parliament repudiated the authority of the Pope, and Catholicism was then driven underground, and the training of priests moved to the new continental colleges in Paris, in Rome, and in Spain. And it wasn't until 1878 that the Scottish Catholic hierarchy was again reestablished. But you can also see the Reformation as the rejection of French influence personified by Mary, Queen of Scots, and even of the old alliance, which was this business of France getting Scotland to attack England. And what happened in Scotland is now today seen as the Anglicization of Scotland.
For a long time after the Reformation, Catholics were really looked down upon and even persecuted for certain periods. What happened to change that? And would you say there's any lingering prejudice in Scotland today?
Yeah, during the 19th century, Catholics were forced to pay for their own schools with their own money, along with some government grants. But they also had to pay for the Protestant schools, which they didn't attend. So that was unfair, obviously, and it put a lot of pressure on Catholic schools. But they were able to obtain much greater state funding after 1918 with the Education Scotland Act, which opened up all the schools to Catholics and took over the funding of the Catholic existing Catholic schools. Some people believe that Catholic schools are essentially divisive. My own experience at the Abbey School Fort Augustus, run by the Benedictine monks, is that a good Catholic school reaches out to the whole community and teaches its pupils fundamental values that are based on the gospel and will stand them in good stead in adult life. But in Britain generally, in Scotland in particular, two world wars also helped to assimilate Catholics into the wider community. For example, in the First World War, my own father-in-law, who was a Protestant from Aberdeen, became a Roman Catholic because he was so impressed by the conduct of the Catholic chaplains that he saw in the trenches in France. And during the Second World War, of course, we had a large number of Polish combatants, and they also helped to make Catholicism equally exotic and acceptable. However, in the summer of 1935, some 10,000 onlookers, many of them Protestants, lined the streets in Edinburgh's Morningside at the final mass of a Eucharistic Congress, which had run for a whole week and had meetings all over the city and civic receptions and so on. But Catholics were stoned across the city in various locations and spat on. I myself knew a priest who in the 1950s told me that he was routinely threatened and spat on while carrying out his ordinary ministry in the city. However, today this hostile attitude is no longer to be found, and we have largely to thank the Second Vatican Council for opening the hearts of Catholics and Protestants alike and for helping to integrate different faith communities. More worrying is that the Catholic population in Scotland has dropped by 18% to 667,000. Baptisms are down by 39%, marriages by 63%, and vocations down by 79%, although there was a Benedict bounce after he was elected. They did rise by 50%. Finally, 72% of Catholics don't attend Mass.